This is an iHeart podcast.
John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Pretty great moment today. I will tell you, in the Kelly household today, and it runs the gamut when it comes to Donald Trump himself in the Kelly household. I'm talking about extended family. There are Trump super fans, those who are very skeptical, but every single person today clapping, cheering, every single person today, myself could be a Trump skeptic at times, are saying, this feels good. It feels like a weight has been lifted off, right? And I just thought it would be appropriate on this wonderful day today, first of all, to let you know it's okay to feel good. Feel good. We're going to talk about Joe Biden and what that evil jerk did here in a little bit, but just today, for the most part, just like I told you after Election Day, there aren't a lot of days in politics, or if you're on the right, where things feel good. Feel good today. Feel hopeful today. Did all the problems get solved? Of course not. You know that. You're not a child. But man, we are in such better hands now than we have been for the last 4 years. We're looking good, okay? Feel good. Feel hopeful. I promise tomorrow the problems will get here. I swear they will. Today, feel good about it. And I thought it would be appropriate to do just a little miniature walk down memory lane, maybe make us all feel a little better. Donald Trump, he already was president. He's president, very good one, for about 3 years. Then COVID came, he lost his mind, we locked down the country, the Democrats stole an election, and then Joe Biden walked into the White House. And Joe Biden, who we'll get into in a little while, Joe Biden was probably the worst we've ever had, handed the country over to communists. And for 4 years, we watched this government declare war on the American people, on all that is right, on all that is good, locking up their political opponents, pro-lifers, January Sixers, people rotting in jail because of the evil things they did. And finally, we had an election coming up, the 2024 election. And the poll numbers started looking good, looked like Donald Trump was well on his way to being the next president of the United States of America. And then, after they had arrested him, mugshots, convicted him of felonies, the works, then the Supreme Court stepped in and said, hey, this is way out of line. He's got immunity from most of these things. And right after that moment when they decided he had immunity, they tried to kill him. Donald Trump talked about it today.
Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. Thank you.
Think about that. Brew on what he just said for a minute. Why are we here today feeling hopeful? Adults back in charge. 2 inches. Donald Trump turns his head at the exact right moment. And that's the reason we're here today. If he does not turn to look at an immigration board that Senator Ron Johnson had given him. If he doesn't turn at that exact moment, that assassin did everything right. The recon, the location, he made the shot at the time it was time to make the shot. If Donald Trump doesn't turn, his brains are on that stage. And where are we today as a country? I have no idea. You have no idea. What happens after that? Does Joe Biden stay in the race? Potentially, maybe they steal another one? Do we go scrambling, looking for someone else? Remember, Donald Trump, he wasn't the nominee yet, but the primary was already over. Now we have to start one up again. Does it result in violence in the streets between the two sides? That's very, very common when one side assassinates the leader. Where are we today versus where we are now if that bullet hits 2 inches away? And yet God did spare him. And here we are. And already, he's going to begin. He has already begun. The executive orders came down immediately, as promised. Already, he's begun to unwind the assault on this country by Democrats. Democrats are now communists, and wherever they can, they destroy whatever they can possibly touch. It doesn't matter if it's the education system, if it's the energy sector, whatever they can get their hands on, they will destroy. They are an evil. Communists are evil. They're destructive. They're demonic. That's what it's of the devil. And whatever they touch, they ruin. And part of the reason you've watched your energy costs go through the roof, now you wince every time you open your power bill, is because Democrats declared war on the energy sector. Immediately, today, that changes.
Today, I will sign a series of historic executive orders. With these actions, we will begin the complete restoration of America and the revolution of common sense. It's all about common sense. We will bring prices down, fill our strategic reserves up again, right to the top, and export American energy all over the world. We will be a rich nation again, and it is that liquid gold under our feet that will help to do it. With my actions today, we will end the Green New Deal, and we will revoke the electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto industry and keeping my sacred pledge to our great American auto workers.
That's a wonderful speech, a wonderful moment. Again, feel good today. Now, I know we're going to feel good. We are feeling good. But it is time to have a discussion. Today is the day to have this discussion about how we conduct ourselves going forward as it pertains to the evil people, the people who have done evil things to us for the last 4 years. They didn't just govern like Democrats. No, no. They attacked us at every single turn. Every possible way they could censor, arrest, hurt you, they did. 4 years doing demon things. Donald Trump talked a bit today about the weaponization of government. Here he was.
After years and years of illegal and unconstitutional federal efforts to restrict free expression, I will also sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech to America. Our sovereignty will be reclaimed. Our safety will be restored. The scales of justice will be rebalanced. The vicious, violent, and unfair weaponization of the Justice Department and our government will end.
The scales of justice will be rebalanced. I like that. That sounds good. You like that. But what does that mean? Well, let's think about it in this way. You've seen Lady Justice. You've seen a statue of some kind of Lady Justice. It's always a lady. And you've seen she's always holding this thing, and there's a scale. There's one side to it, and there's another side to it, and it's supposed to be weighted evenly so the scale is even. Okay, that's obviously what we want. That's the kind of country you want to live in. That's the kind of country I want to live in. All right, so why did they get uneven? It didn't just happen. Why did they get uneven? Why did you and I live for the last 4 years in a country where Democrats abused the rule of law every place they possibly could? Well, because evil people grabbed one side of the scale and tipped it. It didn't just happen. It wasn't the wind. Evil people who have names grabbed it and tipped it. Now, if you get elected president and we take over, it is one thing, it is a good thing to brush those evil people off so it can return to balance. That's a good thing. But what are you going to do with the evil people who grabbed it and tipped it? It's not enough to just end what communists have done for the last 4 years. The communists who did those things must be punished. There has to be justice. If there's not justice, let me tell you what will come. 4 years from now, maybe 8 years from now, maybe 12 years from now, I don't know. A Democrat will be elected president of the United States of America again. Sad, not what I want, but it will happen. That's how it goes. If there is not punishment for the Democrats who just did this, then the next time they get elected, they will do the same thing, if not do worse. That's a fact. I'm glad we're going to end the weaponization of government. It was a wonderful, wonderful speech today. Punishment must come now. There must be a reckoning. I don't care about all the pardons, which we'll talk about. There must be a reckoning. And I am, speaking of reckoning, I am glad in the very least the people who had their military careers ended for the fake poison shot, at least they're getting some back pay.
This week, I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay. And I will sign an order to stop our warriors from being subjected to radical political theories and social experiments while on duty. It's going to end immediately. Our armed forces will be freed to focus on their sole mission, defeating America's enemies.
That's excellent. Good for Trump. Good for you. Good for me. Good for the United States of America. Now, I don't think any of that made you uncomfortable, but we're going to talk a little bit about Joe Biden, and that just might make you uncomfortable. What an evil piece of trash he turned out to be to the very end. What a shock. Before we get to that, let's get to Pure Talk. Let's get to your phone. Let's switch your cell phone service up. You don't need that garbage cell phone company. Verizon is a horrible company. You're going to let them get away with everything they've done? Go look up Verizon and Black Lives Matter. You proud of that? AT&T, T-Mobile, these companies take your money and they give them to the most evil, putrid causes. They've contributed as much as Democrats have to the destruction of this culture. Don't reward them for that. Switch to Pure Talk. You'll save money. They're on the same network, same service, and you get to support a patriotic cell phone company. You keep your phone. You keep your number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. It's over. Joe Biden saying farewell to the White House. Let us set aside our hope for the next 4 years, and let's talk about the last 4 years because it deserves an analysis. What happened in this country during the last 4 years, I'll be very frank with you right now, it frightens me a great deal. And let me explain what I mean, because I don't think I've ever told you anything like that before on the show. It frightens me because what happened during the last 4 years the evil these communists did with their power, from Joe Biden, attorney generals, these prosecutors, the evil things they did, it's what's in their heart. It's what they want to do. Those evil things that were done over the last 4 years were done for this reason. Let me explain. This is what we witnessed. Joe Biden got elected president of the United States of America. Got elected, okay? But anyway, let's set aside the 2020 election. But Joe Biden won the election. He walks into the White House, except Joe Biden's not a functional adult. We've known that now forever. Now the media is finding out, but you and I, we've known that forever. Where's the bathroom? Joe Biden has never been functional. Old, senile, weak, tired. Joe Biden, we now know from people who've said, he's signing executive orders. He doesn't even know what they are. So what does that mean? How did that turn into what happened over the last 4 years? Well, Joe Biden, as president, is always going to keep the worst, most demonic parts of his party in check. Not because he cares. Joe Biden's an evil piece of trash himself. Joe Biden, as president, as a Democrat president, he would always want to keep the animals in check. Hey, you stay within these walls, and you stay within these walls because it's better for him. If I let the animals go too crazy, then I look bad, then the Democrat Party looks bad. So I'm always going to, as president, step in and say, no, we're not doing that. Hold on. No, we're not creating an app that's going to bring in a million illegals. That's insane. Then we look bad. No, we're not going to do that. But that guy didn't exist, you see. He was already an evil, corrupt, selfish monster when he took over. But now he's a senile, evil, corrupt, selfish monster without the power or the knowledge to do those things. So he sat there like that for 4 years. So who ran the country? Well, who ran the country were his staffers, the people he packed into his administration, the people packed into the DOJ, packed into the FBI. And who are those people? The most vile, animalistic communists in the history of mankind. People who would, without question, send you and your mother to a work camp and execute both of you if they thought you were in the way. That's what's in the heart of the communist, and that's what the communist has always done. And so what our communists did in this country is they went crazy. Essentially, Dad, not that he's away, but Dad's a cadaver now, sitting there, but he's still got the credit card, and here you are. You can do whatever you want. And we spent 4 years being attacked by these people. And the reason it frightens me is this. What do they do when they get another four? You don't see anybody. You have not to this day seen an ounce of contrition from the people who've done these evil acts. None of it. We shouldn't have done this. Maybe that was too far. There's been none of that at all. What do they do when they get another four? And what do we now have to do in order to try to stop that from ever happening again? We have to do things we don't want to do. You understand Democrats have to be arrested, right? Not for being Democrats. We're not going to do what they do. But the people who've committed crimes with their power, they have to be arrested and tried and sent to prison. We're going to have to see that. There's a reason Joe Biden is handing out pardons. That was the big news from today besides the inauguration. He's pardoning preemptively Mark Milley, Anthony Fauci, backdating these pardons. Oh, clear back to 2014, whatever he did between then and there. Why do you think they're doing that? Because they know they've committed mountains of crimes, prosecutable crimes, and they're trying to stop what must happen. It absolutely must happen, and it frightens me. What do we do? What do we do when these people take power again? Remember what they did to the energy sector alone. They spent the last 4 years, the savages within the Democrat Party, attacking every working part of our energy sector. That's why your power bill is so high. That's why your gas bill is so high. Joe Biden bragged about it in a speech the communists wrote for him.
Russia's war only enhances the urgency of the need to transition the world off its dependence on fossil fuels.
So America is at the start of an historic transition.
But we are accelerating this transition to a clean energy future.
This is not a transition to be feared. It's a transformation to be seized.
We're in a transition, and transitions are complicated.
They can find, they can go electric, they can do heat pumps. This is how you transition.
They declared war on us? That's not about oil companies, right? That's a war on us. These people are all still here. What do we do? Remember that speech he gave? I'll never forget it as long as I live. In fact, I'm going to wrap up this segment with this because it'll be my lasting memory of the Joe Biden's presidency. Nothing else to me stood out like him standing as an official address, not a campaign event, an official address. He stood up with armed Marines behind him in uniform, and he called you the enemy.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. No matter what the white supremacists and the extremists say.
I'll never forget it. And I don't have a single kind word to say to that evil piece of trash on the way out the door. Joe, well, justice will come for you one day, one way or the other too, Joe. I doubt it'll come in this life. You're going to be pardoned, and you'll be president now, and you'll live the rest of your 2 years on a beach in Delaware. But God was watching, Joe. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about lawfare, the pardons. Let's talk about immigration. Let's talk about sleeping well. I sleep well every single night, no matter what. Now, I've always been a good sleeper. But the downside of that is when I take something to sleep, it just kills me. I knock out for like 20 hours and I feel horrible when I wake up. I don't feel good. I'd rather not sleep. Except for Beam. Beam changed all that. Because Beam is just natural. It's a cup of hot chocolate with natural things in it, like melatonin. I sip on a cup of hot chocolate when I'm worried I'm not going to sleep. I pass right out. When I wake up, I don't feel groggy and heavy and miserable. I feel rested. Like I didn't drink anything. Shopbeam.com/JesseKelly is where you can go get some. You want to sleep like a baby every night? Go. We'll be back.
Have you ruled out a pardon for yourself or any other additional members of the family?
For myself?
Yes, sir.
Well, what would I pardon myself for?
That's what I'm asking.
No, I have no contemplation of pardoning myself for anything. I didn't do anything wrong.
Man, how times have changed. Joining me now, Josh Kammer, host of America on Trial, author of a book, Israel and Civilization, I should note. Josh, okay, Joe Biden's an evil communist piece of trash. Everyone has known this for quite some time. Something I'm very much enjoying is watching him burn down the Democrat Party's reputation on the way out the door. I can't get enough of it.
Jesse, I mean, how many matches do you have to just set aflame and just throw into a great big pool of gasoline on your way out the door? I mean, it's really just remarkable. I mean, from Friday's trolling tweet where he basically said, oh yeah, the Equal Rights Amendment is now the law of the land and the Constitution. The National Archives were like, what? I mean, like, that's not actually how you do this, Mr. President. I mean, from that to the flip-flop on the Hunter Biden pardon to now this 15 minutes before J.D. Vance and Donald Trump put their hands on the Bible and took that oath of office, 15 minutes to issue a pardon for the Biden crime family members, 5-6 of them in total, going back to the year 2014. Jesse, what happened in the year 2014? Oh, yeah, that's when Hunter Biden took the Burisma contract. They're not even trying to hide it. Jesse, this is world historical scumbaggery. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you see in third world tin pot dictators. Oh, wait, that's actually what's happened in the past 3 years as well when it comes to the lawfare. Prosecuting one's political opponent, trying to put one's political opponent in jail. Yeah, world historical scumbaggery, tin pot dictatorship. So it's nothing new for Joe Biden. He has been a dirtbag his entire career. One of the biggest lies in all of American politics for the past half century is the notion that Joe Biden is a good man, hard scrabble, working class Joe. What a bunch of baloney. Joe Biden has been a scumbag ever since he first went to Washington, D.C. in 1974 after his first wife and daughter died in a car accident. He chose to not stay at home to console Hunter Biden and Beau Biden. He went straight to Washington, D.C. to be a senator. He was borking Bob Bork 14 years after that in the late 1980s with Ted Kennedy. He was the Robin to Ted Kennedy's Batman. He's been a rotting, stinking, fetid piece of crap for his entire career. And the real question that I have now, Jesse, is now that he's finally done here, he is in his senility, he is finally done. When is the next time that we are going to see or hear from Joe Biden? I suspect at this point, it might not be until his funeral, to which I say, thank God.
I don't disagree with really any of that, Josh. I do have a question, and I don't want to get heavy on what is a wonderful, hopeful day, but I can't help but think about it. When I saw the pardons, when I saw how brazen it all was, can we as a country, can we put Humpty Dumpty back together again? And if we can, how do we do that? Because what happens from here, what has to happen from here is one of two really, really bad options. Donald Trump can pass some executive orders, and of course, well, we're not going to prosecute Democrats, but all that does is convince Democrats they can behave like the demonic animals they are the next time they take power, or Democrats can start being arrested for the crimes they've committed, and that in and of itself continues the snowball downward. How do we put Humpty Dumpty back together again, or can we?
Jesse, I have to say, I agree with where you're coming from, and I've actually been a little skeptical, to be honest with you, when I hear a lot of people in this incoming administration or friends of the administration on the outside who are saying that they're vowing and saying the day of politicized justice ends today. Look, I am not calling to prosecute Democrats. Rather, here is what I am saying. What I am saying is that when you have an enemy, a domestic foe that is this brazen, that just tried to take a presidential election by trying to put the leading opponent into jail by bankrupting him, which, by the way, they're still doing. That's the Tish James case in New York State, the so-called corporate fraud case. That case hasn't gone anywhere. When you have these kind of tactics coming from an emboldened, hegemonic, Stalinist foe, Jesse, the only way out is through, as I've been saying for years and years here. And what that means when it comes to lawfare is, and I've been pretty open and blunt about saying this, you need short-term escalation in service of mid to long-term equilibrium. Put another way, if a bully is coming to you and is throwing these kind of punches, which Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, Fonnie Willis, they've all been doing this for years now. When a bully comes to you, you can't just squirm into the corner and say, oh, please, please, you know, I'm okay now. Like, don't punch me. No, you got to throw some punches back. You got to bloody up some noses. This is literally kindergarten, playground, bully, schoolyard logic. Again, I'm not saying that you prosecute someone for being a Democrat. I am saying that you try to pursue justice. So for instance, 18 U.S. Code Section 241 is a criminal statute that criminalizes a conspiracy to deprive your fellow American citizens of their constitutional rights. Well, to me, that is exactly what Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, Alvin Bragg, and Fonnie Willis have been doing for the past 3 years. I would start a special counsel investigation today, not tomorrow, today, to look into possible violation of 18 U.S. Code Section 241 for all the various tentacles of the Democrat lawfare complex. It's basic game theory. The only way out is through short-term escalation in service of mid to long-term stability.
I like it. Josh, tell me about these pardons. Let's get into the nitty-gritty lawyer stuff, which is obviously your area. First and foremost, I'm going to ask the most basic, lame question, but everyone woke up and asked it. Can he even do this? Backdated pardons back to 2014. What does this mean? Does this mean Fauci's untouchable? The Bidens are untouchable? Is this the ultimate get out of jail free card? Is that what just happened?
He probably can. I mean, it's uncharted waters. We have not had these kind of sweeping retrospective and prospective pardons. There are a couple things that come to mind here that are roughly kind of sort of similar in the nation's history, but nothing along these lines. I mean, you know, he really set the ground for this with the Hunter Biden pardon, where he not only reversed himself after saying that he wouldn't do it approximately 100 different times there, but then he did it and he made it retrospective back to 2014, the same year that Burisma happened. The Anthony Fauci pardon, if I'm not mistaken, Jesse, I think he basically backdated that until the day that the United States started investing in the Wuhan Institute of Virology there with the NIH funding. Funny how that works as well there. So again, people can legally challenge this. I would not be optimistic on a lawsuit that seeks to undo these pardons. So I think you have to operate under the assumption that they are indeed valid. If you're trying to go after Anthony Fauci in particular, what that means is that you have to be a little more creative at a state level when it comes to a local DA and maybe in a red county in the Texas, Oklahoma panhandle, a place like that there. Look for some state level crimes, tort statutes, things like that there. I mean, you'll have to get a little more creative there. But unfortunately, Jesse, if I'm making a sober legal analytical prediction here, I think those pardons probably do stand.
Josh, let's switch gears here and talk about Donald Trump's foreign policy. We've already had some hostages, Americans returned as they should have been a very long time ago. He talked a bit about foreign policy today.
My proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier. I'm pleased to say that as of yesterday, one day before I assumed office, the hostages in the Middle East are coming back home to their families. Thank you.
Josh, what does this mean for that whole miserable mess over there? Is it done?
No. The short answer is no, it's not done. This is a questionable deal, I think would be a very polite way of saying it. I've actually been pretty critical of the deal since it was announced, if I'm just being very honest, Jesse, with your audience here. I think it's not a particularly good deal for Israel, for the United States, or for all enemies of radical Islamic jihad, for the very simple reason that when you go about trading 33 hostages for two, up to potentially even 3,000 of the most hardened, radicalized terrorists, people who are serving life prison sentences for blowing up children's school buses there. I mean, what do you naturally incentivize there? You incentivize more jihad and you incentivize more taking of hostages there. Part of this is Israel's own fault. They made a serious mistake, in my estimation, in the very, very early days of the war, when they announced that retrieval of the hostages was an equal war aim to defeating Hamas. From my perspective, that was a mistake. Obviously, you want the hostages to come home, but you can't lose sight of the fact that destroying Hamas, in my opinion, should have been really kind of the preeminent single goal of this particular war. So Israel kind of set themselves up for this to an extent there. Look, I think Donald Trump really wanted this moment. He wanted this in his inauguration speech. He wanted kind of the day one Ronald Reagan, Tehran hostage crisis. He wanted the optics of hostages being freed there. But this is not going to end the conflict. In all likelihood, Hamas will violate this ceasefire one way or the other, and the IDF will probably go back into Gaza within the next 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks at the very most there. Ultimately, Jesse, as you know, none of the jihad in the Middle East, unfortunately, probably comes to an end until the head of the snake, the Iranian regime, is dealt with some way or another. I personally am hoping that Donald Trump very much reprises his policies on Iran from the first time around, where he had his maximum pressure campaign that almost brought the mullahs to the brink of bankruptcy. It was highly, highly effective foreign policy.
Yeah, no doubt. Josh, thank you, my brother, as always. Come back soon. Mark Krikorian, I think maybe he has some things to say about Trump and the border policy, illegal immigration. Let's get the skinny on what's going to happen there. Next.
First, I will declare a national emergency at our southern border. All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. We will reinstate my Remain in Mexico policy. I will end the practice of catch and release. And I will send troops to the southern border to repel the disastrous invasion of our country. Under the orders I signed today, we will also be designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations.
Sounds good. I'm as happy as I am today. I probably can't match Mark Gregorian, though. I bet you he was sitting there popping party poppers and fireworks. Joining me now, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies, Mark himself. Okay, Mark, obviously, congratulations. Pretty good day for you. Now, walk us through, though, these executive orders. Everyone says there's a bunch of executive orders and border ones and remain in Mexico. Pretend like we're all stupid. What are the individual orders? What do they do? What changes today?
The stuff that's actually changed today, because remember, executive orders are like instructions, but the things they've done is they've stopped President Biden's illegal programs to let illegal aliens schedule their illegal immigration. They actually had such a thing. That's that CBP One app that people have talked about. Literally, and something like 1 million people have been let in over the past several years under this. So that's, they just stopped it. The media has stories of people who had appointments and they've been canceled and they're disconsolate now. And they're, it's like, well, they should have known this was going to happen 2.5 months ago. What did they think was going to happen? So the national emergency thing is important because what it does is it gives the president some leeway to use military assets at the border. So the point here is not that there's going to be guys at the border, you know, with the machine guns set up and shooting people who are crossing the border, but they're going to be using military for transportation, for surveillance, and for holding people. In other words, actually detaining people, because the Biden administration cut back so much on ICE's ability to actually detain illegal immigrants until it's time to send them home that they're going to have to use military assets to do that. The Remain in Mexico program is, for those who aren't familiar with it, it was for people who are caught illegally crossing the border, and then they make an asylum claim, usually a bogus one, as a way of getting released into the United States. Well, the first Trump administration said, yeah, we're not going to let that keep happening. So they arranged with Mexico to have people wait for their hearing dates on the Mexican side of the border. And immediately they dried up, because if they wanted to stay in Mexico, they just could have stayed in Mexico anyway. So people stopped making fake asylum claims. There's a couple of issues, though, a couple of potential landmines. One is, will Mexico agree to the Remain in Mexico program? Because we're sending them back into their country. They have to agree to it. And I think the president's going to be twisting arms, and he's already done it, and I think they're going to agree. The other thing, though, and this was about the declaring cartels terrorist organizations, the danger, potential danger, is that this might give whole swaths of people in Mexico an asylum claim, because they can say they're fleeing persecution from these U.S. designated terrorist groups. I don't know that that's the way it worked out, but that's a potential landmine, and I hope they're thinking through this carefully so we don't end up creating more problems for us than we already have.
Speaking of the designating cartels terrorist organizations, I'm glad you brought that one up, Mark, because that's one of the ones that everyone loves it on its surface, right? It's one of those great applause lies things, because nobody's going to cheer for cartels. Yeah, go get them all. But they do control half the states of Mexico. They are firmly ingrained in the communities from which they come. I mean, I'm not singing their praises, but they pave the roads. They build hospitals down there. I mean, they do these things. So what does this mean as far as us having a footprint there? What I'm asking, Mark, is, are we going to see Delta Force a la Sicario 2 falling from the skies to murder Mexicans in their homes?
I don't know. We're going to see. That's the kind of thing that could set off real political alarm bells in Mexico. In other words, even the people who are willing to cooperate with us might not be able to do that if we did that. So I don't know. I expect it's going to be quieter. First of all, it's going to involve seizing assets and what have you, financial stuff. But I don't know. Look, this isn't, counterterrorism isn't my area, but I expect there will be some relatively quiet, low-profile efforts to actually rub out a few people as a, you know, as a kind of a lesson to encourage the others. But it's not going to be something they're going to broadcast live on TV, because the Mexican government will have too much pushback from its own people if we're invading and chasing around Mexico just like we did 100 years ago trying to get Pancho Villa.
Mark, switching gears, it's been very, very difficult to keep a lid on an operation the size of which it looks like they're planning in New York and Chicago with these raids. It looks like they're going to start on the morrow, which is great. But what do they look like? How much can you do if the city is resisting? How much resistance are we expecting? What are we looking at, Mark?
The main thing these sanctuary cities are going to do is not cooperate. In other words, that they're free to not cooperate. The federal government can't make them do that because the states aren't part of the federal government. The states created the federal government. So they can stand back, but they can't get in the way. If they actually obstruct and, you know, block ICE members, that sort of thing, those people will be arrested, and they should be. So what you're going to see, I think, is what ICE calls fugitive operations teams, which are small, you know, highly trained guys who go after particular bad guys, and they know where a lot of these people live, and go and arrest them. And if they find other illegals, or, you know, along the way, arrest them too. So initially, it's not going to be mass numbers. It's going to be targeted against really bad guys, because that's the kind of thing you can do quickly. But the other thing is not directed at criminals, but rather directed at work sites. In other words, raids at a factory, say, or a restaurant where they have solid intel that they're not just illegals working there, but that the management knows about it and, like, gave them fake IDs, that kind of stuff that you can lock up employers for, not just get rid of the illegals. That you're going to see bigger numbers of people involved for those kind of actions. And Tom Homan, the now border czar, has pledged that he said, I won't give you details, but we're definitely going to be doing that kind of worksite enforcement as well as the targeted criminal actions.
Mark, everyone knows Joe Biden threw as many landmines in front of Trump when it comes to energy as humanly possible on the way out. Did he do any of this stuff at Homeland Security to make any of this stuff harder?
Yeah, he did, actually. The one big thing happened, I think it was last week, the beginning of the end of the week before, he extended the so-called temporary protected status, which is a kind of ostensibly temporary amnesty for illegal immigrants from certain countries where there's a natural disaster or civil strife. And these grants of what's called TPS would have expired over the next couple of months. They extended them, and they kicked down the road the so-called temporary status of about a million illegal aliens from Venezuela and elsewhere until October of 2026, in order to try to, you know, delay things and kind of run out the clock, at least for that share of illegal immigrants. The other thing isn't policy related, but Alejandro Mayorkas, the impeached DHS secretary who's now out of a job, gave apparently some, like, enormous amount, millions of work days of free extra vacation time to all kinds of people in DHS, and they, you know, a lot of the bureaucrats apparently loved that. I'm not sure if that's something you can undo, but that's the other thing that really caught my attention.
Ah, these freaking people. Okay, Mark, just finally, delaying the Venezuelans. Venezuela's the one that sent the freaking gangs over here, Tren de Aragua and all the rest of them. What are we supposed to do with these people?
That's a good question. Now, there's two points there. First is, most Venezuelans here didn't come from Venezuela. They'd already been living in Colombia and Peru and Brazil and other places, and they even had work permits and IDs. So they only came here because Biden threw the borders open and they said, well, let's trade up. You know, Colombia is okay, but if we can move to the United States, that's even better. So that's the first thing, is that these people, most of them didn't come directly from Venezuela. But the other thing is, what are we going to do with these Tren de Aragua people? Because Colombia, for instance, let's say Colombia gave asylum to some Venezuelan and it turns out he was a gang member. They're not going to want to take him back. That's going to be hard to pressure them to take him back. I think you're going to see Trump carrot and stick dealing with Venezuela, and he might even be willing to sort of ease up on some sanctions if they will start taking some of their people back. But in the meantime, we can only hold them for 6 months, according to the Supreme Court, if they haven't, you know, if they've finished their criminal sentences and we have them in immigration detention. We can't hold them more than 6 months if there's no prospect of their being returned. So the administration, this is going to be one of their top shelf issues about what to do with these Tren de Aragua dirtbags.
What a friggin' mess. Mark, as always, thank you, my friend. Congratulations for you, to you, me, and everyone else. It's been a great day. All right. I have some final thoughts. Next. All right. We don't have light in the mood today. We have final thoughts today. And so here are my final thoughts. First, one of my final thoughts is you better go subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. And my other final thought is this. I feel good today. I feel hopeful. I know we have a million more battles to fight, as you and I have talked about a million times. All is not solved. It's not time to sit back and enjoy, but it is time tonight to put your feet up, smile, hug your wife, your husband, your kids, call your mom. It is better now. The federal government, at least from the White House, is no longer going to attack you every single day. And if nothing else, that is something to smile about. All right, we'll do it tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.